If you followed what they were talking about in the General Assembly, I don't know if you people did, but they committed to some really noble goals, one of which is to eradicate global poverty by the year 2030. It's something I personally believe in, but I do think it's possible. I think it's possible, but I will admit it sounds a little less noble if you imagine it coming from a supervillain. If all goes according to plan, I shall rid the world of all poor people. Oh, yes. There'll be no one hungry when I'm done.
So this morning before I went to work, I always like to get caught up on the Stephen Colbert Show. And it's out of habit. You know, either I watch the news or I watch the talk shows, whether Fallon or Colbert. Sometimes Jimmy Kimmel, just depends on who I'm in the mood to watch. And I was going through the DVR and looking at the stars, you know, the guys he's talking to. And of course, Morgan Freeman was going to be on the show that I was going to watch. So I click it on, I'm watching it. And it was that far back that Colbert was talking about the shutting down of the UN summit, or the closing of the UN summit. And he had said that some of the part of the 2030 agenda, he didn't say 2030 agenda, he says the things are going to be happening and implemented by 2030, is that people are going to, you know, we're going to get rid of hunger. We're going to eliminate hunger in the world. And he said, oh, I can get behind that, no problem. He says, but can you imagine what would happen if this was headed up by some supervillain? Oh, yes, I have plans of getting rid of the poor, he says. I have ways to get rid of, as if, you know, no supervillain is going to take over the United Nations and do this with their New World Order campaign and their idea. Well, that actually put up a big red flag in my head, because I was reading the other day about the Strong Cities Network. Now, many people don't know what the Strong Cities Network is because of the fact that it's not being talked about in the mainstream media. But what the Strong Cities Network is, it was proposed by Loretta Lynch. And what is being proposed and what's going to happen is that blue helmeted United Nations personnel will be replacing municipal police forces in certain towns. And those areas are where police have been harassed and hollowed out because of civil unrest and violent activism. The critics say will increase because of proposals that will limit personal freedoms in the United States with the 2030 agenda. So the Strong Cities Network is being launched, and that these UN troops are going to be in places like, for example, where illegal aliens are going to be flooding American borders. The Muslim problem, if we have one, like Europe. Of course, Donald Trump says we should build a wall and have the Mexican government pay for it, but this may not have to be done if we have blue helmeted troops at the borders and also robotic, machine gun sentries, because, of course, that's another thing the UN was talking about, is a robot or AI being used in war. Autonomous drones, autonomous machine guns, that sort of thing. So it's kind of a creepy thing they're discussing here. Our future, more or less blue helmeted, you know, soldiers moving in, and also robots and drones and everything. It's like a scene from RoboCop or perhaps Skynet from Terminator. Well, I didn't know who to talk to about this, because I don't know if I could find anybody credible that you would believe that would back me on this. And the only person I could think of was James Corbett. Because, of course, he's one of the most credible guys out there when it comes to doing reports. He's in Japan. He doesn't have anybody to hold him back. He tells it like it is. His YouTube videos are popular. His report, his podcast is popular. And so I'm bringing him on right now. James Corbett, welcome to Ground Zero.
Clyde, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Great to have you on again. And so glad to have you on for such a short time. But we're going to try to get to the point here as quick as we can. Have you been following the Strong Cities Network proposal?
I've only seen it in the last couple of days pop up, and I think you're spot on with your analysis, because that clip from Colbert, I think, really does get to the heart of the matter. I mean, that's some pretty strong satire there, because I think the underlying point of this is that the UN and all of its various adjuncts love to promote all of this kind of stuff using the nicest, mealy-mouthiest political rhetoric you can think of. Strong cities. Who could be against that? It sounds so warm and wonderful and fluffy. And this Agenda 2030 that they just kicked off, they're not even calling it Agenda 2030. They're calling it the Global Goals for Sustainable Development. And when you look at their goals, I mean, that's the most laudable things. Everyone wants to end poverty, end hunger, ensure healthy lives, ensure inclusive quality education, achieve gender equality, promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth. All of these buzzwords that we've heard for so long and have been trained to bark like dogs whenever it comes along and salivate like Pavlov's dog, I guess.
Right.
Oh, this is so wonderful. How can it be anything bad? It's coming from the loving, wonderful, swaddling arms of the United Nations. But of course, we have to understand that this rhetoric, these buzzwords are being promoted to hide a political agenda. And I think that's what that Colbert satire gets to the point of. Yes, it's wonderful to say end poverty. Everyone wants to end poverty, but how do you do that? I mean, you could do it by just killing off all the poor, and there you go, you've ended poverty. Is that what we want? I think rather than these kind of fluffy, mealy-mouthed political rhetoric, meaningless buzzwords, we need to hear the actual proposals of what's going on. And if you go to the Global Goals website at globalgoals.org, I mean, it's just laughable. It's ridiculous when you see, for example, you click on what can I do at globalgoals.org, and it just basically says the more people who know about the Global Goals for Sustainable Development, the more successful they'll be. If we all fight for them, our leaders will make them happen. So they need to be famous. And other such ridiculous rhetoric that seems like it's written for 7-year-olds. I mean, this is the level at which they're trying to push this kind of meaningless nonsense, which unfortunately, as you and I know, is really obscuring a much deeper and darker political agenda for those would-be ruling elites.
Well, they water it down so much. And then, of course, the mainstream media will not touch this because they don't want anyone to get a clue that when the blue-helmeted UN forces are walking down the street, there's nothing to worry about. When they do explain it, they'll say, well, this is for to eliminate extremism, to prevent a battlefield scenario on planet Earth, or even on any country that's going to be allowing this. In fact, even Canada is going to adopt this. Several other cities are going to adopt this. It's going to be happening worldwide. And this is the very nightmare that my father warned me about when I was a kid. The very nightmare that you read about in Behold a Pale Horse. The very nightmare that actually was talked about on the X-Files. That there would be some secret government that would take over FEMA or you know, just name it. And it'll be there to put troops on the ground and to basically keep everybody in order, much like a fascist government. And that's exactly what this is. It's a proposal to overturn everything that is ours. The idea that we have sovereignty and replace it with a form of collectivism that moves ever closer to the Marxist ideal that I talked about in the last hour, that's similar to what is in Imagine by John Lennon, except in a more warped sense.
I think that's the point. It's everything that comes out of these bodies has an underlying reality that they then warp or they morph into. They try to cloak themselves in that mantle so that they can slip their ideas into it. I mean, when you think of something like sustainable development, what does that even mean? Again, it's just one of those mealy-mouthed political rhetoric kind of phrases, but I think underlying it, we all understand independence. We all understand self-sufficiency and how important those ideas and concepts are. So they come along with this sustainability to try to take the mantle and to try to cloak themselves in that. And it's the same thing, I think, with this strong cities network. Again, it's this idea that it's these cities, it's local grassroots organization that's going to take over. And they're going to get the job done where these big, you know, federal and even international bodies can't do it. We're going to bring it down to the city level. But again, this isn't some randomly, you know, grassroots kind of spontaneous organization. This is something that's being planned top down from the highest levels. And when you look into the Strong Cities Network, there at strongcitiesnetwork.org, and you click on About Us, you can find that they are run by the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, a London-based think and do tank with a long-standing track record of working to prevent violent extremism across all forms. Mm-hmm. And when you look into the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, strategicdialogue.org, you'll find that their logo is the as above, so below, below part of that, the downward facing triangle. And when you look at their board of trustees, it's all of the usual bankers, lawyers, politicians, and hereditary lords in the UK that you would expect in an organization like this, like the CEO of Axel Springer and the CEO of Oceana Investment and all of these other banking connected interests. And you wonder why they're so so in favor of this organ? Why they're so much in favor of this idea that they're willing to put together an organization like the Strong Cities Network, and why they have this againstviolentextremism.org website where they talk about this concept. Again, it's because violent extremism means whatever you want it to mean. And if they want it to mean, you know, crazy radio hosts or crazy conspiracy theorists on the internet who are right. spreading information about groups like this, then maybe that's what they want to start to eliminate. And again, when you just have these broad ideas that people don't even know what they mean, but they sound good, so people support them, it can very quickly turn into a witch hunt. And I really think that's what the ultimate aim of this is.
Well, it is. And of course, as I said earlier, and we'll get to it later on as soon as we take this break, but the idea, too, that they're dragging their feet on the idea of implementing autonomous drones, autonomous robotic sentries that can be on borders like with the Gaza Strip, also at the demilitarized zone. Of course, you know, Donald Trump has proposed the wall, but who needs a wall when you have mechanized death to greet you at a border, or you have machine guns that can basically detect you some 2 miles away from where you're planning on climbing over the wall or climbing under the ground or wherever you're planning on doing this. This is some very serious stuff as we're looking at this Strong Cities Network. James Corbett with us tonight on Ground Zero. Stay tuned, because we're going to give you more details on this. And if you want more information, you can go to the Department of Justice site, because they also have a press release on what this is, giving you details on how the Blue Helmets will be on our shores rather soon. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
KXL After Dark. If you question it, you're doing it right.
I'm Clay Lewis. This is Ground Zero. James Corbett from the Corbett Report with us here tonight to discuss the movements of Agenda 2030 and how they're going to enforce it. Of course, the Strong Cities Network has been proposed, and of course, it seems that all systems go for the implementation. In fact, the Department of Justice issued a press release that stated that cities and communities will be involved, and it'll be there to challenge violent extremism. Now, James, I may have missed something, but they're talking as if this has already been decided. Did they actually say when we might be able to see or might catch a glimpse of the Blue Helmets on our streets?
Oh, I think this is part of one of those dialogue agendas where they come by and they start to open a dialogue between different cities. And this will lead towards different decisions that will be made in different times and different places. So, again, that it looks like it's coming from a grassroots level, even if this entire dialogue is being steered and funded and promoted from the very top. So what we do know about the Strong Cities Network right now is that it's driven by an international steering committee of 25 cities and other local authorities selected from different regions across the globe. And this steering committee is going to be basically convening international advisory boards to try to come up with ideas for combating violent extremism and sharing them. So London, Beirut, Aarhus, Atlanta, Rotterdam, Victoria, Stockholm, Copenhagen. These are some of the cities that are part of this steering committee. And apparently they're going to be convening various advisory boards to try to come together and collaborate on this. But I mean, you mentioned the autonomous weapons, the autonomous robot idea. I think that's really one of the scariest parts of this agenda long term, because we know going back through history, back to World War II, we know that the army historian S.L.A. Marshall did that famous study where he found that 75% of soldiers during World War II never fired their weapons during combat. They would literally rather die than kill a fellow human being. And the history of the last 60 years has been 70 years now has been trying to undo that basic human aversion to killing. And they've done a wonderful job of it with all of these pop-up target training and first-person shooters and all of that kind of stuff that have been so steeped in our consciousness that now people are more willing to kill than they ever have been before, and kill with a kind of automatic response. But still, you have soldiers and others who will resist the idea of firing on their fellow human beings, let alone their neighbors, brothers, sisters, cousins, what have you, in their own country. So you still need a way around that. And that's where I think this autonomous weapon idea and the real, I mean, the Blue Helmets in the future time won't be people walking around. It'll be, you know, armed robots, which sounds ridiculous until you go and look at things like the Future of Life Institute of people like Elon Musk and Bill Gates and others. Stephen Hawking and others who signed that letter warning about autonomous weapons and how artificial intelligence is going to take over combat. And that's the real future that we're looking at. And I think we have to stop it before it gets to that point, because once it is at that point, a very few people can control literal armies of killer robots that will be unstoppable. Again, it sounds like science fiction fantasy, but it is becoming a reality even as we speak.
Right. Barack Obama did say, and I recall him saying this when he was making his speeches, he says, we cannot rely on our military alone to carry out some of the missions, nor can we rely on our own police forces to do so. He was proposing at the time a more, I guess you call it, community police force that would be used in order to combat crime and extremism. But I guess this community police force is being guised as this new UN takeover. And I'm thinking that this will be probably sold as this idea that Barack Obama was proposing when he was first running for president.
I'm sure that's the way it'll be sold in a lot of American cities anyway. And again, I think there will be a local flavor to all of this. It'll always be presented as, oh, this is our local grassroots idea for how to be a part of this strong cities network. And this is what we can do. And, you know, this is us as Americans, or in, you know, Stockholm, it'll be, this is what us Swedes can do. It'll always be presented with that local flavor. But again, it's being organized at the international level by shadowy organizations, the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, and other organizations like that, that again are puppeteered by all of these board members of major financial and financial institutions and law firms.
I get to see the PSA now. Troubled times, strong cities. Join the United Nations Community Service Act, or whatever they're going to call it, to make your cities more safe for humanity. You know, and you get a knock at the door from a robot saying, sign or die. And that's the thing, is that at the moment, it's all being, I guess you call it, strategically planned. No one knows the day when we're going to be seeing this type of takeover, or when we're going to be seeing the UN troops on our streets. But of course, it'll be backed up by community organizations who will say, what about the kids? We need to have UN troops at the playground so nobody will shoot kids, or a number of other things will be implemented. And these are the things that worry me.
Problem, reaction, solution, crisis response. This is how it's done. And it's, again, it's always presented exactly as you say. This is the solution. This is what we need to do. Yeah. Oh, won't somebody think of the children? And it's an exceptionally effective tactic, which is why we have to undermine it before they start pumping out this propaganda.
Right. Barack Obama's coming to Oregon at the end of the week to discuss the situation in Roseburg, and everybody in Roseburg are not wanting him there because they know exactly what he's going to propose. And once again, we look at human beings as political footballs. We look at human beings as being sheep. It can be guarded by the wolves, and the sheep don't care. They're being guarded by the wolves because they think the wolves will protect them. But they don't realize that the wolves are there, and that they still have the personality of wolves, and they'll continue to have them. So, James, we're out of time. I thank you for your comments on this. I'm sure that you'll be exploring this more on the Corbett Report. Where can we find the Corbett Report?
CorbettReport.com. That's CORBETT report.com. All of my interviews, videos, articles, podcasts there for free download. I hope people will use it as a resource.
And also, you partner with James Evan Pilato, our former producer, and say hi to him for us, will you?
Hi, James. Always good to talk to him. Yes, he's at MediaMonarchy.com, and we do the New World Next Week show every Thursday or Friday.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, James, for being on the program.
Thank you, Clyde.
Have a good night. CorbettReport.com. That's CorbettReport.com for more information. I'm sure he's going to be following this as well. But we're going to keep you updated here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Your phone call's coming up. Don't go away.